We get used to hearing numbers in the trillions where dollars are concerned. The federal budget is several trillion dollars now, for one example. But to think of individuals, former college students, owing $1.5 trillion in college loan debt, that's hard to wrap our minds around. An organization called Free the Facts travels the country meeting with college student groups about student loans and some options that students have. FTF recently stopped at Southern Oregon University and moved on. We caught up with them at their headquarters. Tom Church is senior policy advisor at Free the Facts. Tom, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
So tell us a bit about Free the Facts and what it's set up to do.
Sure, yeah. Free the Facts is a nonpartisan, nonprofit think tank based out of D.C. We go and talk to young Americans, mostly on college campuses, I like to say, about the issues that they're going to have to pay for. So we have programs running on Social Security, on Medicare, on student loans. We do that throughout the school year, and in the summertime, we run weekly events in D.C. on public policy issues. And we're dedicated to the nonpartisan part. We do that by focusing on the problem set. We talk about the wide-ranging solutions that are available, but we leave that up to them to decide what they want to do. But we focus on the problems. We focus on the official data. And it's not hard to motivate that there are, you know, issues with any of these programs.
Right. And I notice it's not necessarily just about solving the problems for young people, but also about enlisting their help in solving them.
Absolutely. You know, we like to say we're a think tank for the people who can't afford them just yet. So we like to give them the solutions and let them know that, you know, not long after they start graduating and working, they're going to be the ones that are going to have to fix these things. So it's up to them.
I'm glad you brought up the nonpartisan part. I did notice that that you're welcome to Southern Oregon University, for example, by the College Republicans, but then noticed on other campuses it's been sometimes the College Democrats, sometimes the College Democrats and the College Republicans. So you kind of mix it up a bit.
Yeah, I think, you know, our favorite events tend to be when we get co-hosting events between College Republicans, College Democrats, or other civic engagement groups on campuses and bring them together. I mean, we firmly believe they're going to have to work together to fix these things in the future. And so it's very nice to get them in a room if they're not well acquainted with one another. It's also nice to go to schools where they're actually, you know, friendly. I mean, at the end of the day, people are people. And, you know, we'll get College Democrats and Republicans who are roommates with one another. And so they bring everyone along with them.
So give us a sense of how you format the campus events. When you go to talk about student loans, for example, how does it all set lay out?
You know, it's a big topic. We start with the data. We start with official numbers. And so I think we always have to start with, okay, what do we need to actually know about student loans? And the crux of the issue is student loans for many people are just a way to go to school, maybe their dream school, maybe college because they think they need to go to college. And we want them to stop, and the one thing we want them to take away, if anything, is that student loans are an investment decision, right? That you are borrowing money to raise your income later. And so that's the key of it. And so we run through what the big picture numbers are, what it means for them individually, what it means at the macro level for the entire country, and then what solutions everyone is talking about, both politicians, think tank people, and others.
And I'm curious to know about the kind of response you get, because there's a lot of ground between, yes, help me understand my student loans, and ugh, I have student loans to repay and I don't want to talk about them.
You know, I think students want to know, first and foremost, that they're going to be okay. You know, many of them are taking out student loans. And so, you know, I think the real thing with student loans is when you sign up and you get them, you don't hear anything from the government basically until you graduate and have to start paying. And so we're trying to fill that gap in the middle of here's what we wish we would have known when we did this, when we went through it, like you guys are now. And here's what you should plan on. Here's what you should be doing in the meantime, and give you guys an idea of you know, is this a good idea or not? And many of them are, you know, we go and talk to undergraduates and graduate students, but if they're undergraduates, they may be thinking about going to grad school. So this information is relevant even if they've already made the decision to take out student loans. Or, you know, everyone's got younger siblings or cousins, and so we're hoping that we can give them information that they can pass along to others and make better decisions.
Tom Church is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, senior policy advisor at the nonprofit, nonpartisan organization Free the Facts, which travels the country getting students engaged in a number of different issues, but student loans is a big one, with $1.5 trillion in student loan debt outstanding. There's much to talk about. You can join the conversation here on The Exchange. range at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You bring up an excellent point, which reminds me of my own college experience, which is, you know, it's like, okay, well, I'll have to pay these loans back someday, but I'll deal with that later. Right now, I got to get through school. Are there things that students should be doing while they're in school, Tom, things they might actually be considering adjusting while they're in school to affect their loans and their loan repayment later?
Well, I mean, I like to say if you've got a job, it's worth thinking about the trade-off of, you know, making the money and spending it now, or saving it, or paying down some student loan debt before you get out. I think it's a hard thing to do because student loans are costly, but I think the real thing is getting them prepared for when they graduate. I think what they study, what kind of jobs they're likely to get, and what it's going to cost them when they start working. We like to encourage them to look up what the median pay is for someone graduating out of their school with their major, where they want to work, and figuring out, okay, what am I actually going to owe on day one? Am I going to be able to afford it? Am I going to need roommates? And plan those details out.
One thing you just said, though, about the median income for people graduating in their field for their school, are there differences? I mean, will you make different amounts of money depending on where you graduate from?
You will. I think a lot of it is where you start working as well. I mean, the cost of living is vastly different across the country. And even within majors, you're going to make a different amount of money. I mean, the difference between someone who graduates high school versus graduates college over their lifetime will be about $1 million in earnings difference. But even within those who get college degrees, the difference is between $3 or $4 million in lifetime earnings. I mean, there's a wide range in disparity of the schools you go to and maybe the majors you're going to study and then occupations you'll work in.
Is there any kind of formula involved here? I mean, do you advocate any sort of a ratio? You know, if you expect to make this much more over your career, you want to spend no more than this much on your college education? Is there anything quite like that?
You know, at the end of the day, it just tends to be student loans make sense if you need the money to go to school and then you are able to get a job and pay it back. And so at the end of the day, it's just, let's see if we can't make wise investment decisions. The big issue with student loans is that they're fine for a lot of people. And when I say they're fine, I mean, it's no fun to owe money and to have to pay back, but people pay them back. It's the 10 to 15% who are delinquent or default, who have clearly not made a wise investment decision and aren't able to make payments, that we're hoping we can eliminate that factor.
Has anybody come up to you after one of the college sessions and said, you know, I think I may be in the wrong place, the school's too expensive for me, or I got too much in loans or something like that?
You know, I think everyone just thinks I have a lot, and so I'm in trouble. I think a handful of maybe said that. I think most think, okay, you've given me a little bit of hope. I mean, we run through the numbers, and I have to stop a few times and say, by the way, it's going to be okay. We all went through this. You'll be fine. Things just take a little bit longer to pay off. And so it's more, I think, that we get, okay, now I kind of understand this, and now at least I can plan and be ready for it.
The ready for it really comes 6 months after graduation. Bam, the bills start coming at that point.
That's right. Yeah, you can defer for 6 months without paying interest payments, and then you start paying back at that point. I think most people pretty much defer and then start paying. And it's a rude awakening. I think a lot of the times people just don't know what they're going to owe. And it depends on what interest rates are and what balances are. But the rule of thumb is basically for every $10,000 that you borrow, you're going to have about $100 monthly payment for 10 years. And so you can start to do the math a little bit in your head about what it's going to cost you once you start working.
So if you borrow $50,000, your payment's going to be something like $500 a month.
Yeah, a little bit more than $500, but that's about right, yeah.
Wow. So, but if you leave college without graduating, even if you plan to go back in a specified amount of time, what happens then?
You still owe the money. You can't get rid of it in bankruptcy. This is the real issue with student loans, is it's not necessarily that people are graduating and getting jobs and then can't pay, and that does happen, but for the most part, the real problem is focused on people who go to school for a little bit and then drop out. And then what they've done is they haven't increased their earnings potential because they haven't graduated college, but they still have this new debt, and so they're in a worse financial situation. And people leaving with a few thousand dollars of student loan debt without a degree are much more likely to default or be in delinquent than people who graduate with $20,000 in student loan debt.
So Tom, how are the loan payments calculated? Is it just by the amount owed? So is that formula pretty much hard and fast, or is there some element of gearing payments to income?
There are a bunch of different options for repayment if you borrow from the federal government. The main one we like to talk about is the 10-year fixed interest rate payment. It's the simplest one to calculate. There are some that are longer terms. There are some that adjust your payments based on income. But the trade-off there is that over the lifetime of your loan, you're going to pay more money because you're going to pay more interest. And those loans tend to be for longer periods of time. So even though the dollar value monthly might seem lower, if you're going to pay for 20 years instead of 10, then you're going to pay a lot more back in interest.
Kind of like with credit cards. If you're just paying the minimum every month, you're still building up a huge bulge behind that.
That's right, yeah.
Tom Church is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a senior policy advisor at the nonpartisan nonprofit organization Free the Facts, which talks to college students around the country about a number of issues that they will be dealing with when they leave college. And, of course, top of that list may be student loans, which is topic of discussion here. You're more than welcome to join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Swap a story. Did you take a long time to pay back your student loans? Are you still paying them back and you're well into in the middle of your career? Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 with comments or questions. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned the 10-15% delinquent or default rate. What, and if a borrower does fall behind on a student loan, what process kicks in, if any?
Well, the federal government's the one that you owe the money to. It's unlike other loans that you might take out, because you can consolidate, you can consolidate with student loans, but you can declare in bankruptcy in other borrowing markets, but you can't with student loans. I mean, the thing is, if you're working, the federal government knows where you are because they're taking money out for payroll taxes and federal income taxes. And so if you fall behind, eventually the federal government can just garnish your wages, and it's like paying an additional tax. You don't have much of an option. You're going to have to pay if you've got a job.
What marks the line between being late and being in default?
The numbers are having made a payment in 90 days to 270 days for default or a delinquent in default.
And if there are further penalty upon default, are there some fines that come with that?
No, the interest just piles up and piles up.
All right. Now, are some loans forgiven, Tom?
Not many. There is a program where you can work for the federal government or for public service, and then apply and have the loans forgiven after a certain amount of time, maybe about 20 years. But it's not common. And when I say it's not common, I mean not a lot are actually forgiven. Many people apply for them, but the forgiveness rate isn't as high as you'd think. We don't give a lot of advice to students aside from educate yourself and pick. But we do note that if you think you're going to pick this option and work for the government or in the public sector for a long time and then have these loans forgiven, it's not as reliable as you think it might be.
In what sense?
The number of people who apply for these forgiveness and then actually get them isn't 100%, and so we want to make sure that if you're planning for paying down debt, you should do what you can to pay it down in the first order sense of getting rid of it, and then not worrying about the clemency or the goodwill of the government to take care of it for you.
Oh, so don't think I got this covered, because I'll get a job with the government, everything will be fine. Just take care of it yourself first.
That's right, yeah.
Now, is the Department of Education trying some new systems for loan repayment? I see there's some activity there.
They're always tweaking what the options are. Right now, I believe there's 8 possible variations, and there's always more being floated. So it depends on the administration. It depends how often they want to change those around.
Okay, so pretty much count on whichever president is in the White House. There's going to be some difference in what thinking is in the Department of Education about student loans and repayment.
That's right.
So do you advocate a change in policy in how student loans are given or how they're repaid or how much college costs? I mean, what kinds of things do you push for at Free the Facts?
Well, we don't advocate for solutions. We like to tell people what the possible solutions are. And there are plenty that are out there from politicians to other think tanks. And so there are ideas of, let's make the default student loan repayment option 20 years instead of 10, so that monthly payments are easier to make, even though they'll maybe pay back more interest. There are plenty of people who think, let's increase Pell Grants even more. So instead of having to take out loans, you get more of a grant from the government, and it's more targeted assistance, because those only go to lower-income Americans. And so if you don't need to borrow as much, then you don't need to pay back as much afterward. So there's a wide range in possible options, but we always leave that up to the students. We like to say, here are what some Democrats are talking about, here are what some Republicans are talking about, here are student loan researchers at various think tanks and what their books are and what they're suggesting. At the end of the day, though, I mean, most people come to the conclusion of, and by the way, we need to inform more young people about what this is going to cost them before they take out these student loans.
So is there a jaw-drop moment in the presentations on campus, things that make students go, wow, I didn't realize what I was getting into?
I think it helps for them to know the rough rule of thumb, maybe $10,000 in borrowing is $100 in monthly payments. When we run through the numbers, I mean, there's over 40 million people in the United States with student loan debt. I like to tell them they're not alone. If 1 in 8, 1 in 9 people in America are paying back student loans, it's okay. I mean, they don't want to talk about it at first, and then they realize, okay, everyone else is in this situation too.
So what is $1.5 trillion divided by 40 million? What's the average student loan load?
When they graduate, if you're an undergraduate, it's somewhere in the $20,000 worth. Mm-hmm. If you add in graduate students, the average balance when you leave is a little over $30,000.
All right, so we're looking at people who have, you know, $200, $300 a month payments they're looking at when they get out.
That's right, yeah.
Can student loans be refinanced or restructured? Or you mentioned consolidation.
Yeah, there are private companies out there, social financing companies, who will do consolidation. You know, the federal government took over the student loan market a couple of years ago, and so the interest rates are somewhat fixed. You can absolutely consolidate, though, yeah.
So are the rates lower with the federal government taking over the student loan market?
You know, for some, and some there aren't. I mean, at the end of the day, your interest rate, if you aren't getting it from the federal government, is dependent on your ability to pay, in a sense, right? If you are very credit worthy, someone will lend you money at a much lower rate. If you're not very credit worthy, well, then someone's not going to, you know, refinance for you at a lower rate, and so you should maybe stick with the federal government's interest rate in the first place.
What's the top of the list of advice that you give for students to help them understand where they're heading and the choices they need to make? Or,
you know, I always say run the numbers, figure out what it's going to cost and what getting this college degree is going to get you in terms of future income. I talk to other people who've made these decisions and ask them if they regret them or not. But at the end of the day, it is run the numbers before you make these decisions. And if you already have them, run the numbers so that you are prepared when you graduate.
Okay, I certainly appreciate that rule of thumb here, that for every $10,000 you borrow, you're looking at somewhere around $100 a month of payment back on your student loan. So something to think about when you get to the end of your education and have to begin to pay those loans back. A lot we've learned today. Tom Church, I appreciate it. Tom Church is Senior Policy Advisor at the nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, Free the Facts. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.